Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Lockdown Diary by a GP mother of six, amateur cellist and choir member. It's far from lonely in my house. With eight of us crammed in, I'm very glad of the garden. There are many advantages of being a large family. It's never boring, and there are often several different genres of music being played simultaneously. My husband spends his days teaching his secondary school lessons from home and supervising the education of our two primary school-aged boys. Initially, we had two main worries. One, loo roll for eight people was difficult to source. Two, if we all caught the virus, the stockpile of paracetamol I was able to hoard would last us all about 18 hours. Now the complaint is, with supermarkets limiting purchases of many items to two, how do I get enough milk, eggs, butter or flour to feed us all for more than 2 days? My normal weekly shop resembles someone else's monthly stockpile. In our family, we have the whole range. A young man with a vocational degree in a specialty which doesn't exist for the time being. Another who has felt the need to take a third gap year because who knows what university will be like in September, but a small engineering firm has extended his internship. Two secondary school students who luckily aren't in exam years. Two primary school children missing their friends. I've been the lucky one, able to go out to work from the start as a GP. My practice kindly protected me due to my asthma, so I've been consulting by telephone and video. We have two sites at our practice and have been able to make one the admin hub and the other a very successful socially distant face-to-face hub. We continue to see urgent cases face-to-face if it becomes clearly necessary. I've been clapped for on a weekly basis, which was a comfort at first, even though eventually it became too much of a political statement to bear as the NHS almost became labelled worthy of charitable status. More recently, once more evidence came out regarding who was really at risk, I've been able to join my colleagues seeing patients face to face as my asthma's very well controlled. In the evenings, once I've helped with children's violin practice and bedtime, I've found myself unable to concentrate on watching TV or even any of the online streamed theatre, dance or music events. Instead, I spend my evenings laying down recordings for multi-tracked masterpieces. So far, I've sung in three different online choirs, played in a cello ensemble based in Texas, and joined in a small orchestra to back a song from a new oratorio written by an orchestra friend. It has been immensely difficult not to be able to participate in live music. Back on the 2nd of March, I played with the Doctor's Orchestra in the Cadogan Hall in aid of freedom from torture. Who would have realised that the decision to start with Brahms' Tragic Overture and Strauss' Death and Transfiguration would have been so appropriate? That weekend, all we doctors in the orchestra were beginning to be concerned. The news was breaking from Italy about the tragedy there, and we hoped it wouldn't be so bad over here. The following week, our church choir took the decision not to sing at Mass, as it was breaking that transmission in choirs had been risky and fatal. The week after that, the Cambridge Philharmonic Orchestra played our very last concert in West Road Concert Hall for probably quite a long time. It was a difficult decision not to cancel, and I still hope to this day we didn't have a super spreader in the audience. Nowadays, playing live music seems like a distant dream, unless it is Suzuki Books 1 and 2 in my back room with my 6 and 8-year-old violinists. I miss the wonderful feeling of making a symphony ring out with 100 other people, of singing Tallis, Elgar and Macmillan in Mass with my friends. Our Cambridge Philharmonic Orchestra Mahler II concert in Ely Cathedral has been postponed for a very long time. As lockdown rules start to lift, we've sent the six-year-old back into his lovely small school, which is so well organised and happy. He had a brilliant day. Even 2 metres away is better than a Zoom call on Mum's phone. I'm not worried for his health, although I am concerned that the R value may start to rise too quickly, putting others in danger. I'm sure many people of different faiths will understand how much I miss church. Watching Pope Francis last week celebrating Pentecost in St. Peter's Basilica, along with thousands of people online, was nice, but not the same as being there in person. My son's first Holy Communion was supposed to have been happening then in Cambridge. How can we do this safely? We can't justify infecting our neighbours, however painful it may seem not to meet. We've managed to pray at home as a family with varying degrees of success, as I realise how much I relied on the larger community to help me with this. What can we bring out of this, once lockdown is over? In our GP surgery, we hope to build on what we've learnt about remote consulting to help our patients in future, even once we can easily see them in person. I've actually enjoyed the worldwide music making and hope we can do that as well as live, even once we don't have to. I'm so grateful for my friends who support one another by arranging Zoom virtual pub meetings and birthday parties. Emily's kitchen utensil bingo was a genius touch. I'm grateful to my dad for telling stories to my little ones on a video call. I love seeing videos of my parents playing brass duets in the street for the carers. I can't wait to see you all in person again. But let's also continue to connect online as an extra.
Cambridge Breakfast.
Cambridge 105 Radio.